All right, you heard the big news from Laura. It's making national news. Very unusual when a local law enforcement group or local prosecutors charge a federal agent. You have jurisdictional issues. You have obviously the usual issues that are involved when you're talking about a law enforcement agent in the commission of their duties when it comes to trying to figure out, all right, is there a case or not? That's really the question I had. My initial reaction, you can listen back to it on the podcast. Just search Drive Time with DeRussia, or you can rewind the video on Facebook or on YouTube on the WCCO radio channels. But my initial reaction is that just because the federal government is going to obstruct and not assist in the investigation the way that they always have done with the state of Minnesota doesn't mean that we shouldn't prosecute if we think there is a reason to do so. Joe Tamburino has been studying the criminal complaints, has listened to what County Attorney Mary Moriarty has said, and he joins us in studio today. Joe, it's good to see you.
Nice seeing you.
This is unusual, right? I mean, it's first of all, it's unusual when a law enforcement officer gets charged in general, I think.
Yes, it's very unusual. And I've only seen this once before here locally, and that just happened a month ago when the Hennepin County Attorney's Office charged Gregory Morgan, another ICE agent, in that issue of a second-degree assault, a road rage type thing on the freeway. Now, there's still an active warrant for him. It's been out since April 16th nationwide, and there's been no progress on that case. But that's the only other time of recent memory.
All right, so let's give people sort of the scenario here, at least the facts as we know it. Because the initial story, and I think a lot of you remember it because it was a colorful story. This story that an ICE agent was being attacked by a couple of guys using a broom and a shovel. Bear in mind, this was January 14th. It was cold. It was winter. And the idea of a couple of illegal immigrants beating the crap out of an ICE agent with a shovel and a broom is sort of like, you say, well, they're probably going to shoot. I mean, I don't, you know, I think that's a reasonable reaction a lot of people would have. Except the story fell apart. And it's not just the Hennepin County attorney who is saying these guys were lying. It was a federal judge who threw out the charges against Julio Sosa Solis, the North Minneapolis man, and his roommate, Alfredo Alyorna. They were initially charged with assaulting a federal officer. Joe, the story has fallen apart so much to the point where members of the Trump administration were saying, like, there's a chance these guys are going to be charged with perjury for lying about what happened. So that's sort of the background. When you look at these charges, I guess the first question is, before we get into jurisdiction and whether we'll be able to do anything, is there a case here in a law enforcement officer lying and then also, you know, the use of force in this case where it seems like Solis Sosa was on his, at least he was fleeing. He was shot running away.
Yes. I mean, when you just look at the complaint, sure, there is a case. And out of all of the situations, unfortunate situations by far, that have transpired here in Minnesota with ICE, this has the most ammunition for the state to bring charges. There's no doubt about that. For the reasons that you have stated, which is, I mean, they charge the victims in federal court, and then in February those charges were dismissed. And you're right. People from the Trump administration are saying they're going to look at this officer with some type of perjury charge.
And this is pretty bad. This is not like what you would expect like a Minnesota state trooper to be doing, you know?
That's right. And the other thing that the state has is they have some partial investigation that was doing a joint investigation with the federal government.
That was fascinating.
Right.
And this became a flashpoint, right? That the Trump administration shut down any sort of joint administrations. According to this criminal complaint, you see when it was shut down because they started doing an interview of one of the ICE agents, right?
That's right. So the other part that's broken to the state's favor is that that is that there was a joint investigation, at least to some degree here. The other aspect.
It looks like it lasted 12 minutes or something.
But
it was
still,
but they have something together, which is.
That's right. That's amazing. Right. And the other aspect of this is they have recordings and they have ShotSpotter. And here's the irony of this, Jason. It was only, I think, last year in our city council that they were talking about how they should do away with ShotSpotter. There were all these objections from the left about ShotSpotter.
The left has been very against ShotSpotter. And ShotSpotter, for people who don't know, is sort of an audio technology that it's not perfect, but it does give dispatchers sort of a first warning of like, hey, sounds like a shot was fired here. Might be a firecracker, but it's pretty good at the AI now. It's pretty good at ferreting that stuff out.
That's right. There have been objections from the left about ShotSpotter, as well as all the cameras on the street.
Right.
Well, this
privacy
case,
and why are you putting them
right.
all in the black neighborhoods? And
yes,
yeah.
And so, but this case is taking ShotSpotter and the videos from the street and using it to prosecute a federal official. Mm. So, you know, these tools of investigation are important. And they're using them in this case.
One of the things I found interesting as we talked with our legal analyst, criminal defense attorney Joe Tamburino, is that the call. So step one is a shot spotter. Step two is a 911 call that comes from a Minneapolis police officer. Step three is the dispatcher turning the camera
yes.
that they had in this area towards the house. And that camera picked up pretty much everything in a time that the ICE agents did not have body-worn cameras.
That's right.
Nor do we know that it would be turned over even if they had it, I guess, the way that things are going.
Well, that question is a really good question, which is even if the ICE agents had body-worn cameras, would they have been turned over to the state? My guess is they would not have been. But these cameras that are on the streets, you know, you and I can't jump on them and, you know, start turning them left and right or up and down. But the police can. And this is why they're important. They're cameras that are on a public street. When you walk on a public street, there is very little right to privacy because you're right. in the open air. Same thing with the ShotSpotter. So, you know, out
sort
of all
great
the cases,
work by the dispatcher, too,
yeah.
to like recognize like, oh, we got a camera over there. Let's turn it.
That's right. So out of all the cases that have come forth, they've got the best ammunition in this one. They being the local prosecutors.
I suspect there's a but. Is there a but?
Yeah, there is a but. There's a couple of big buts. So, yeah, there's a few of them. Number one is this whole nationwide warrant. All that means is that there's an active warrant that could be executed in all 50 states and U.S. territories.
Is that aren't all warrants that?
Most are. You don't have to do. You could do an in-state
warrant.
Sounds
good, though, doesn't
it? It does sound
yes,
good. Yes. So, you know.
Did they issue an APB? Can we put out all of the, like, cool catchphrases?
That's right. Yeah. Everything from TV.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And like I mentioned in that other case, there's been an active warrant out for that individual for over a month.
Yeah.
So that's
you got to know
one.
Where the person is and go get them, right? Is
well,
that?
I would imagine these are ICE agents. People know where they are. I mean, yeah. I don't think they're hiding underground. So number one about the warrant. Number two is as soon as this person goes to court here, I would here being in Hennepin County, I would imagine his attorney's going to remove this to federal court, which is his right. And then number three, once he gets into federal court, he will make a motion to dismiss under the Supremacy Clause, specifically under a U.S. Supreme Court case called Nagel, I believe from 1880. That basically says this in a nutshell. If a federal official was working within the color of their duty, the scope of their duty, the state can't prosecute them. So this is in for a long haul of litigation.
And
those
that,
are the buts.
That last but is a big one for all of the cases that I think many people in Minnesota would like to see at least a court process on, right?
That's right.
The shooting of Alex Preddy, the shooting of Renee Good. Those cases, to me, as a layman, are actually more challenging to get a guilty verdict for, because if you want to talk about being in the throes of their job, like those were very much sort of you. There are a lot of questions to ask about the police work that was used there. But with Renee Good, you're like, well, I don't know. You can talk yourself into a justification for that. Alex Preddy, even it all happened very, very quickly. And you could say like, the fact that one officer yelled that he had a gun, even though the gun was pulled off of Alex Preddy at the time the shots were fired, it's a matter of less than a second.
Right. Right. And with those two cases,
just tougher cases is all I'm saying.
They are. And with those two cases, you're not even going to get this far right now because the federal government was not cooperating at all on those cases. And they are quite different in this case, because in this case, if everything pans out as the way the complaint says it does, and we've seen the video, you have an officer shooting into a house, presumably with a closed door. So, you know, I mean, it's a totally different factual scenario. That's why I stated this case has the best legs to advance on.
It's all super interesting. I mean, I am a little disgusted that, like, we had to go through major investigatory techniques to even figure out the name of this guy. I just think this is not how we want justice. Any good law enforcement officer, this isn't how you would want it to be done, the way that the federal government has decided that this had to go.
And especially with the lack of cooperation, because, you know, I mean, when the federal government says, we're just not going to give you any information, it's very hard to force them to do otherwise.
Yeah.
Very hard. And the only time we've ever seen this kind of a case or this kind of a, you know, procedure is when we think back to the Ruby Ridge incident back in 1990. I mean, those who are old enough to remember that, in that case, you had federal agents storming basically a local guy there for weapons charges. And then a shootout happened. And obviously some federal officials died, and then the victims died on the civilian side. But there was a whole process there about this same issue, which is the Supremacy Clause, removing it to the federal courts. So we're going to see that play out here, too.
Do you expect a charge in the Preddy or the Good shootings?
I would right now say no. I would be surprised, only because, again, there hasn't been a peep as to whether or not there would be any shared information. Yeah. I mean, think about it this
hard,
way.
Hard to reconstruct that. Well, the BCA did a lot of work to reconstruct this, and they had a lot to work with.
Well, remember, even in the Preddy case, BCA wasn't allowed even on the scene.
On the scene. Yeah.
So I don't see how you're going to be able to charge anyone, let alone a police officer, when there is a dearth of investigative material. I mean, how do you get past probable cause? Even if you decide to charge by complaint, there's no grand jury, and you walk into court as a prosecutor, the defense attorney is surely going to argue that we know, just based on public information, there's a whole wealth of information out there in this investigation that the prosecutor does not have, which means there could be some exculpatory evidence and no probable cause, and you could see what happens.
Joe Tamburino, great stuff. Appreciate the insight in real time. This breaking story just this afternoon. I know you came right from court too. So
yeah,
thank
I did.
You.
No problem.
You know, that's why you got to watch on the stream. You can see Joe's nice suit. You can tell it's a court day.
It's a court day.
It's a court day. Joe Tamburino with us here on Drive
Time. Thank you.